And now, we bring you live the 164th weekly presentation of the famous dramatic feature, The Witch's Tale, written by Alonzo Dean Cole, and starring Mr. Judd Nelson, Mr. Bill Mooney, Miss Roxanne Dawson, Mr. Barry Williams, Mr. Ted Levine, Miss Julie Haggerty, Mr. Jess Harnell, Mr. Brian Phelps, and Mr. Mark Thompson in The Witch's Tale. And now, let us join old Nancy and Satan, her wise black cat.
A 110-year-old I be today. Yes, sir, 110-year-old. Well, Satan, before we gets down to our yarn spinning, we got a little duty to perform. That's right, me and you has been getting a lot of letters lately asking why we ain't been telling more of our magic charms, particularly our love charms. So tonight we're gonna tell the young folks and the old folks too how to gain the girl or the fella they've set their eyes on. All we gotta do is get 7 common beans, which we place in a circle on the road where the person you gets the hankering fur is bound to pass. Then, if the loved one steps over the beans or on them, he or she be drawn to declare his or her affection. But if they steps round the magic circle, the charm's failed. And now that we got that off our chest, Satan, tell everyone to douse their lights. That's it. Make it nice and dark and cheerful. When we hears our bedtime stories, draw up to the fire and gaze into the embers, gaze into them deep, and soon you'll hear a clock a-strikin'. Soon you'll see a nervous, worried man pacing up and down a fine big room. Soon you'll hear an old yarn, oh, devil's hands.
Dr. Shelton, Lane dear, it's 10 o'clock. In 1 hour, Ivan Turgoff will be strapped in the electric chair. His last request is that I visit him before he dies. Now, don't try and dissuade me from going any longer.
Terrence, darling, you're in no condition to visit that prison tonight. You've been ill for a week, on the verge of a nervous breakdown.
What does that matter when another man is going to his death? A death to which I've sent him.
Son, for the love of heaven, try to think and think sensibly. 6 months ago, the people of this town elected you their district attorney. As the defender of decent society, you've sent a degenerate murderer to the just punishment he deserves. Why should you have any qualms about it?
You know he killed that woman, dear. You proved it to the hilt.
Oh, yes, I know he killed the woman.
Then why should you have any sympathy for him?
Oh, you don't understand.
Your wife and I understand a great deal better than you do. You're a sick man, and you ought to be in bed. And as your physician, I want you to go back there without any more argument.
Dr. Shelton, I must talk to Turgoff again before he dies. I'm going to put on my clothes and have Nicholas drive me to the prison.
Those pajamas and that dressing gown are the only clothes you're going to wear tonight, young fellow. And you're not stirring from this house.
Oh, yes, I am.
Oh, no, you're not.
Terry, please.
Let me go, both of you.
Not a chance. Now you sit down in that chair and you act rational.
There isn't the slightest reason for the way you're acting. You've just admitted that you have no doubt that Ivan Turgoff strangled his sweetheart. You can't have any doubt. It was proven. He admitted it.
That's not the point.
No, the point in your overworked, half-hysterical condition is that your mind has been dwelling upon the man's absurd defense.
Doctor, Terry couldn't possibly believe the mad story Turgoff told in court.
This was your husband's first murder case, Mrs. Burke. And he's Irish. Temperamentally, he's apt to believe any fairy tale.
Turgoff's story may not have been a fairy tale.
Darling, Turgoff's story was one which only a lunatic would tell.
Well, that's what I thought at the time. But the psychiatrist found him sane. They helped me send him to the chair.
The specialists who testified at his trial found him to be a congenital liar with a perverted mentality, but capable of distinguishing between right and wrong, which is all the law requires in determining criminal liability.
I know all that, but you're really convinced there would be no basis in his claim that...
That his hands strangled his victim without connivance of his brain? Of all the nonsense!
He said they were not his hands, but the devil's. Devil hands, he called them.
Terry, only people who lived in the Dark Ages would credit that ridiculous story of witchcraft. Turgoff's own lawyers were apologetic when he told it on the witness stand, and the jury frankly laughed. It was by ridiculing his asinine testimony that you made the jury bring in a verdict of guilty on the first ballot.
Yes, I know I ridiculed it. But who was I to say it was just a childish lie? How can anyone deny the devil exists simply because they've never seen him? For thousands of years, tales have been told of the compacts he has made with men. And who are we to say those tales were never based on truth? Turgoff was a great painter, a fine sculptor, yet he had no schooling in the arts. He displayed no talent for them until he was a grown man. He said he gained that talent by a satanic compact, that the devil gave him his clever hands.
Oh, Terry.
For the love of heaven.
I had no right to say he told a lie. You have no right to laugh at his story now. It was shown in court that strange ceremonies were often held in his studio, that he belonged to a cult of Satanists. His story may be true. The hands that strangled his sweetheart may have been not his, but the devil's.
If they were, it's an additional reason why he should go to the chair without any sympathy from anyone.
No. No matter how bad a man is, the law should not condemn him for a crime that's not his own.
I've heard enough of this nonsense. When your brain was functioning normally, you realized the man was merely aiming at an insanity verdict when he told that story. Now you're going back to bed.
No! He's asked to see me! It's his last request!
You're going to do as the doctor says, Terry.
Let me go! No, don't take me to my room!
Now, come on!
Doctor, Lane, in an hour the man will die. I know I can't save him, but I must talk to him again.
In this room with you now, son.
No, I haven't strength enough to fight you, but... Doctor, please, call the garage, Lane. Tell Nicholas to bring the car.
Go to bed, Terry.
I've got to see Turgoff. I've got to hear him tell me that not devil hands, but his were guilty of the crime for which I've sent him to his death.
Help me pull off his dressing gown, Mrs. Burke.
Doctor, I beg.
All right, Mrs. Burke, I'll lift him into the bed.
Lane, make him let me go.
Go to sleep, dear. Rest, for my sake.
He will. Come on, Mrs. Burke. I'll turn out the lights.
No. Please. Lane.
Good night, dear.
He may not have meant to do it. He may have told the truth of devil hands.
Let me close this door.
Doctor, you're certain we dare leave him alone?
I'm going to lock him in. He'll be all right. He's exhausted himself with those outbursts. He'll be sound asleep in 5 minutes.
You're sure his mind is all right? When I heard him say he believed that mad story of...
That's just the result of his brain fatigue and frayed nerves. A good long rest will soon put him on his feet, mentally and physically.
Devil hands. Devil hands.
Listen. He's talking to himself in there.
He won't talk long. He's too tired. Come back to the other room. I want to write a prescription for you to give him when he wakes.
Devil hands. Devil hands. Devil hands.
Operator? Operator, won't you hurry, please, and get that number? Hello. Is that you, Nicholas? This is Mr. Burke. No, I can't talk any louder. I don't want anyone to know I'm calling you. Now, Nicholas, I want you to take the car out back way and wait for me on Elm Street a block from the house. Oh, I know I'm supposed to be sick, but there's nothing wrong with me. Listen, you mustn't let Mrs. Burke know you're meeting me. She and Dr. Shelton have locked me in my room and they think I'm asleep. I'm leaving by the way of the window. Don't argue! If you don't do as I say, I'll fire you! All right. I'll be dressed in 5 minutes. You meet me and be prepared to drive fast. Where are we going? We're going to the state prison!
Turgoff's cell is at the end of the block, down the right. You won't have long to talk to him before everything's ready.
In there? The electric chair?
Yeah, just beyond that little door.
God. And I'm sending him there. If he'll only tell me he is guilty, not his hands.
Thompson?
Yes, Warden?
This is District Attorney Burke. He'll talk to Turgoff without the usual precautions.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Warden. I'll go to him.
You and I remain here, Thompson.
Yes, sir.
Hello, Turgoff.
Good evening, Mr. Burke. It is nice of you to grant a soon-to-be dead man's last request.
Why did you wish to see me, Turgoff?
Because you are the man who sent me here.
You're a murderer. It was my duty to see that you are punished.
You're not sure that I'm a murderer. You mocked the story I told in my defense. You're not sure it was a lie.
You still swear?
Yes. The mad story that I told was true. These hands of mine are not like other men's. Their actions are not directed by my brain. They have an intelligence of their own, the intelligence of hell, from where they came. It was not I who was Ivan Turgoff, the great artist, the great sculptor. It was my devil hands. They wielded the brush, they plied the chisel. It was not I who was a murderer. These hands, it was these hands that curled themselves about the woman's throat and pressed upon it until she died. You of all the world are unsure that story is a lie.
God hear me, I'm not sure. And now there's nothing I can do.
No, but there's something I can do.
What do you mean?
In a moment, I meet my death. The death to which you've sent me. In that moment shall begin my vengeance on you.
Vengeance?
In a moment, you think I will be helpless, dead. In a moment, they will lead me through that little door. Pull a switch to send me searing to my grave. But my hands are not a part of my body. My hands are the devil's, and you shall have them.
You're talking madness.
I'm talking the truth. In court, people told of strange rites that were held within my studio. They said those rites were degenerate orgies, but they weren't. They were ceremonies, which have been practiced since the world began by men who wished the powers only hell can give them. I gained those powers. I still retain them. Although my body goes to death, I shall use those powers to give you my devil hands.
That's impossible. You can't frighten me that way.
Wait and see.
Sorry, Mr. Burke, time's up.
Which means it's time for me to go in there.
Yes, Turgoff.
I'm ready. But send that sniveling priest away. I've already told him I want none of his religion.
My son, at your final hour, repent and seek divine forgiveness.
In my final hour, I die as I have lived, in a faith of evil, fear, and hate. Come on, Warden.
Turgoff!
Goodbye, Burke. I'm willing you my devil hands. I am willing you my devil hands.
Terry, darling, you shouldn't be working at that desk tonight. You know Dr. Shelton's orders that you are to remain in bed.
I'm not sick, and I have work to do.
You are sick. You might have been completely well by this time if you hadn't sneaked out through the bedroom window last week and driven to the prison. The exposure and whatever that murderer said to you before his execution has made you worse than before.
I'm all right, I tell you.
No, your nerves are in a dreadful state. Dear, why won't you tell me what Turgoff said to you that night?
Because it's of no consequence. You and Shelton were right. I was a fool to have gone, to have doubted Turgoff's guilt.
He only talked a lot of nonsense, made impossible threats. Now, he's dead now. Let's not speak of him anymore.
All right. But I wish you'd go to bed, dear.
Impossible threats. What did you say?
That I want you to go to bed.
Not now. I have too much work to do.
But you're not working. You're only making idle pencil marks upon that paper.
I'm making notes for a court address next week.
You haven't been writing, dear. What have you been doing with that pencil?
I tell you, God! God!
What's the matter?
I've drawn a picture here.
You can't draw a straight line.
I never could before. But look what I've done now.
A perfect portrait of a man. It's Turgoff.
Yes, Turgoff. And I've signed his name to it. In his writing. Only I didn't do it. My hands did.
Terry, what do you mean?
Turgoff's kept his promise. He's cursed me with his hands. His devil hands! That can draw and paint and strangle! That picture was only the beginning, Doctor. I haven't told Lane. I haven't told anyone of the things that have happened since. But today, I had to come to you to beg your help.
Take it easy, son. Tell me.
Well, as I say, my hands drew that portrait 6 days ago.
And you immediately concluded Turgoff's impossible threat had come true.
It has come true! And that picture was only the beginning, I tell you. That night, if my mind had allowed me to sleep, rest would have been impossible. The hands pinched my body, scratched my flesh until the blood came, tortured me until I almost screamed. Every night since, they've done the same.
Your hands?
They're not my hands any longer. They have an intelligence of their own. A guiding force beyond control of my muscles or my mind.
Terry, you're...
Wait! Don't tell me I'm mad until you look at these notes.
Notes?
Yes, in Turgoff's writing. Turgoff's dead, but his hands wrote them. His devil hands that are now mine!
Calm down now. Let's have a look at these mysterious notes.
Read them. I know you think me crazy. But read them.
This one says, I have kept my promise.
That's the first. There's been one every day. The second reads, hands that will not die, I will to you.
That's what Turgoff told you in the death house.
Yes. The next note says, devil hands for the devil's business.
I see. And the next, hands that hurt and hands that wound.
The day these fingers wrote that, I made this gash in my cheek while shaving, but the razor didn't slip. My hand, this hand, slashed it deliberately into my flesh. Now the next note reads, hands that strangle, hands that kill.
But they didn't strangle or kill anyone the day you wrote it, did they?
Don't make fun of me, Doctor. Impossible as this seems, try to believe and help me.
I'm going to try to help you, but above all, you must try to help yourself. Good Lord, Terry, you're a man of brains with a position in this community. Can't you realize all this is merely a delusion born of a weakened body? You've got to pull yourself together, and I'm going to see that you do it with the rest your body needs. I'm going to give you a hypodermic that will put you to sleep for a week.
That won't do any good. There's only one thing that will do any good, Doctor.
And what's that?
Cut off these hands.
Cut off your hands?
Yes! I'm deadly serious. There's a note you haven't read yet. The last. It says, devil hands that lead to death. And that's where they will lead. To my death or another's if you don't do the thing I ask.
Yeah. Do you think for 1 minute that I'd amputate two healthy members of anyone's body for such a crazy reason as you've given me? These ridiculous notes that you wrote in a script resembling Turgoff's don't mean a thing. In preparing his prosecution, you pored over letters of his for weeks. In your present state of mind, it's a natural thing for you to imitate his writing. If I didn't know the man you are when well, I'd take steps to have you put in a sanitarium for mental cases. As it is, I'm going to call an ambulance and send you to a hospital where they'll make you take the rest you need.
Ha ha!
What are you laughing about?
While you were telling me I suffer from delusions, look what my devil hands have done!
Another note?
Yes, a note which says, tonight, these hands will kill. Look at it. Read it. It says, tonight, these hands will kill.
What are you doing with that pencil now?
I'm doing nothing! These devil hands are writing again! They write... No! No!
Let me see it. You've written... Your wife...
Tonight these hands will kill your wife, it says! No! No! No!
Terry! Terry, come back! Where are you going?
I'm taking these devil hands away where they can do no harm! Away from my wife, from Lane!
Terry! Terry! Someone! Someone stop that madman!
They shan't harm Lane! They shan't harm Lane! These hands shan't harm my wife! Taxi! Taxi!
Yeah, right here, boss.
Drive me to the railway station. Fast as you can.
Yes, sir. Which one?
Western! Ha-ha! That's where the trains leave for the farthest points away from here. I'll beat you, Turgoff. I'll beat your devil hands!
What's say, boss?
Oh, never mind. Drive. Get me to that station.
Okay.
I'm gonna beat you, Turgoff. I'm gonna beat your devil.
Hey! What are you doing back there? Stop pounding on them windows! Stop it!
The hands are doing it! Not me!
Well, cut it out before you break the glass!
I can't stop them! I can't stop them!
Well, I'll see to that.
Don't stop your cab! No, don't! Don't get me to that station!
Look, I ain't driving no crazy lunatic who thinks it's fun to pound on windows. Now get out of here!
You don't understand. I'm not beating on your window. It's these hands that want to keep me here. They took this way to make you stop your cab. No, don't pull me out of here! Drive me to that station!
Don't you come, nut! There.
Wait. I'll give you $50 if you'll...
I wouldn't drive you anywhere for all the money in the mint.
Come back!
Yeah, you'll walk to where you're going, bud.
Yes. Walk! But I'll beat you, Turgoff. I'll beat your devil hands!
Trains for all points west on track 7. Chicago, Kansas City, Albuquerque, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Sacramento, Portland, and Seattle.
Give me a ticket, please, to the farthest point out west.
Seattle, Portland, or Frisco?
Seattle will do.
Round trip?
No, one way. Quick, please, quick.
Train doesn't leave here for half an hour. There's no hurry.
No hurry? You don't know. But I'm going to beat you, Turgoff. I'm going to beat these devil hands.
Here's your ticket. Fare $63.27.
Thank you. The hands won't take the money from my pocket.
Huh?
Come outside your office. You take the money for that ticket from my pocket.
What's the idea?
Don't question. Just get the money. Then you can have 100 for yourself if you'll give the conductor my ticket and put me on that train. I'll beat you, Turgoff!
I think you're crazy.
Oh, for God's sake, do as I ask you. I've got to leave this town before midnight. Porter! You do it!
Yes, sir. What you want me to do, sir?
Put your hand inside my pocket and take out the wallet there.
Well, that's kind of unusual, but I'll do it, sir.
I wouldn't do it, George. The guy's goofy, if you ask me.
Hurry! I'm going to beat you, Turgoff!
Hey! Let go of the man's throat!
He's choking me to death!
The devil hands! I can't let go!
Help! Help!
Please!
Somebody stop the maniac before he kills the porter! Ryan! Ryan! Make way! I get the murdering thug! Good Lord, save us! District Attorney Burke!
Take me to jail, Ryan. Lock me in a cell. There, these devil hands can do no harm.
I don't understand, sir.
You don't have to. Just see if that man is hurt, and then lock me up.
No, the porter's okay. He's coming too.
Thank God.
Take care of the porter, Becker. All you people, clear away. There ain't no circus going on here. Now you come with me, Mr. Burke. I'll get you out of this without anyone even guessing who you are. I've heard what a sick man you've been. Just take it easy now. You're not yourself.
No, I'm not myself. Ha ha! Part of me is a man who's dead. But you're going to help me beat him. You are going to lock me in a cell.
Hardly that, sir. A cell would be no place for this town's district attorney.
You're not taking me to jail?
Certainly not, sir. I'm taking you home to your wife.
No! 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 No!
Sure, Mrs. Burke. Bringing your poor husband to this house is the hardest work I ever did in my life. He fought me every step of the way.
Thank heaven you did find him and bring him home, Officer Ryan.
I say amen to that. When he ran out of my office this afternoon, I didn't know what he meant to do with himself. Now that he's safely in his room, in bed, well, I can breathe easily again.
It sure is a queer notion he has in his head about his hand, sir.
It's merely a hallucination caused by his illness.
Please don't say anything about it. If the papers should learn...
I wouldn't breathe no scandal about a big shot like your husband, ma'am. But it's doggone queer. He fought me when I brought him here in a cab. But he did his fighting with his feet and head and body. Looked almost as if he was right about them hands wanting to come home, while the rest of him wanted to stay away.
He'll forget about this night when it's past and that silly note has been proved a lie.
I guess them hands won't strangle Mrs. Burke or anyone else when they're fastened to his bed with handcuffs.
I'm so glad you suggested putting those handcuffs on him, Mr. Ryan. When you locked them on his wrists, he went to sleep like a baby.
Yes, poor devil felt you were safe then. Mm. And he's going to have a good long sleep this time that will put him on his feet. I gave him a hypodermic that will attend to that.
I was glad to see you give him that shot, Doc. Because it'll keep him out of trouble if the handcuffs fail.
What do you mean, if the handcuffs fail?
Well, if there's any truth to that sick idea he's got about the devil hands, I just remembered that Turgoff was a regular Houdini.
Houdini?
Yes. We had to get him in the jail, city jail there. He used to amuse the boys by slipping out of my handcuffs whenever they'd put him on.
What's that?
Terry!
He's coming from his room.
His hands are free.
Look. They clutch the wall and pull his body along behind him.
I stupefied the man with drugs. How?
Terry, darling.
Mrs. Burke!
No, come back here. Don't go near him.
Only devil hands like Turgoff's could have slipped them handcuffs.
I'm going to help him back to bed, Terry.
He has her by the throat.
Ryan, help me get him.
Try to scream his coming neck. Force him away.
I can't. He has her in a grip of steel.
Hit him with my blackjack.
That won't help. Those hands have a life of their own. I see that now.
Well, we've got him loose. He's let her go.
Hold him, Ryan, while I see to her.
He didn't kill her, Doc. He didn't.
Yes. God help him now. His wife is dead.
Holy Mother. He's shaken off the drug, Doc. His eyes have opened.
I'm going to beat you, Turgoff. Going to beat your devil hands.
Lead him away, Ryan. Don't let him see her now.
No! Too late.
Lane! Lane's dead! The devil hands! The devil hands! The devil hands! The devil hands! The devil hands!
Terry, snap out of it, son!
Dear, you'll awaken the entire neighborhood.
Lane!
Don't look at me as though I were a ghost.
Lane, you're...
What on earth were you dreaming of, Terry? Your screams were enough to wake the dead.
Dreaming?
I don't think he's entirely awake yet.
Lane, oh, come close to me, oh, my dear. Let me touch you. Make sure it's really you, alive. No, I mustn't touch you with the devil hands.
Oh, so that's what this nightmare was about.
If it was, there need be no more about that subject. We just had a telephone call from the prison.
From the prison?
Yes, the warden phoned to give you Turgoff's last message.
Turgoff's last... What was it? It may be my dream come true.
It seems Turgoff had an idea his execution would prey upon your conscience, dear. So he asked that the warden assure you that his punishment was just. He made a full confession that he planned the murder long before it was committed, and he went to the chair on the arm of a priest, praying to heaven for forgiveness.
The devil hands were all a lie?
Of course. You never seriously believed a power of evil could control the life of a man.
Certainly he didn't. Terry realizes that man, thank God, is a free agent who can choose between good and evil.
Yes, thank God. Thank God.